website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're always delighted to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. As we face the issues, we set the stage, ask the questions, invite you to call, give your thoughts, insight, and dialogue and discussion on the issue. We're talking about today a subject that is pretty broad. We're going to try to keep it focused on two or three or four serious issues. But the question is, how should we then live? And that's not an original thought from me. I'm looking at Ezekiel 33, chapter 33. And God says to Ezekiel, if when you seeth a sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh the warning, taketh not the warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But, verse 6, if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and taketh away the person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Verse 10 then says, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if the transgressions and our sins is upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? And so the point being, ladies and gentlemen, God says to Ezekiel, and I'm going to paraphrase, that I'm calling you, pointing you, putting you in a position, being the watchman on the wall. As the watchman on the wall, when you see danger coming, you blow the trumpet, you make the warning, and as you blow the trumpet and make the warning, then some will listen and some will not. Those that do not, the danger is upon their head. If you do not make the warning and the danger comes, then God is going to hold you, Ezekiel. Let's transfer it. You, preacher, pastor, Christian worker today, as a result of that. So therefore, how should we then live? Should we pay attention to the warning? Should we actually be watchmen on the wall? Is that something that is applicable today? And how should we then live? What should we do? Ladies and gentlemen, God's admonition for today is to be the watchman, to be faithful on God's about God's word, holding a watchful responsibility to what God has called us to do. So I'm saying that on the heels of several things that's taken place recently. We still see the chaos, calamity, and confusion in the world. We're witnessing today what I would call world events coming forth as water out of a fireman's hose. That is how rapid, that is how broad, that is how strong, that is how fast we're witnessing these events taking place in the world. And I think if there's ever a time, hear me, if there's ever a time in the history of our nation, if there's ever a time in the history of our church, if there's ever a time in the history of Christendom in the world today, we need to be watchmen on the wall. I'm a little bit weary with preachers, with Christian workers, with Christians in general that have the philosophy that God's called us just to be a witness for Jesus and just try to get folks to be saved, and everything else is out of our hand. Everything else we need not worry about. Everything else, the moral ethical values in the nation, we ought not to be involved in. That is contrary to the Word of God. That is in total opposition to what God says is our responsibility as Christians. So as we face the issues today, how should we then live? We're going to talk about some current events. We'll talk about what is happening with the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. We'll talk about what is taking place with the transgenderism and what the Supreme Courts have said and what the president's doing. We'll talk about the fact that the petitions are out there now, about 650,000, 670,000 signatures, needing about 800,000 or better to have the POT amendment on the ballot for November of 2026. The workers are out there already paying for those signatures. There's the plan, the position that's been taken through multitudes in the state of Florida that we're going to force the Floridians to vote for, accept, and embrace the marijuana in our state as recreational use. We'll talk about that and other things, but the bottom line is, how should we then live? But as we face the issues, we do so, ladies and gentlemen, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's God's truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2, God's word says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So may I say to you that truth is truth, whether we accept it or not. Truth is truth. Even if you try to bifurcate it, you cannot make a whole truth out of a half, can't make a whole truth out of a half lie. We need to recognize that truth should stand. I'm reading a brief statement. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true today. We realize, ladies and gentlemen, we live in an era, we live in a time that truth is not embraced for the most part. Right now, you have those that are bickering and complaining and talking about, and we'll touch on it briefly today, what's called the Epstein Files. How should Christians respond to that? Should we say, whoopee, there's some smut out there, some garbage and names in that list, and we should say, no, because that'll hurt feelings. Let's not open the Pandora's box. How should we then live? What should we say? What should preachers, pastors, Christians say in relationship to that? Should there just be silence? Did you realize that there's been an investigatory commission set up by President Donald J. Trump to study, to look at, to analyze, and determine, was the 2020 election fraudulently stolen? You've not heard that on the news. You've not heard that on the socialist Marxist media outlets of any kind. But ladies and gentlemen, that's a fact that has taken place. There's a move to find what happened. I'm looking at the headline on that. Trump calls for a special prosecutor to investigate the 2020 election fraud. President Donald Trump is calling for a special prosecutor to investigate whether or not fraud took place. That was the election that installed Joe Biden in the Oval Office after he ran a campaign from the basement from his home. And there were multiple cases of fraud. Besides the fraud that's already discovered, there were two major underlying influences, including one that the pollster discovered probably cost Trump the election. The first influence was Mark Zuckerberg's decision to hand out hundreds of millions of dollars through foundations to mostly leftist local officials who often used the money to recruit voters on the Democratic tickets and the districts for Democrats. The biggest influence was the FBI's decision to interfere. It did so by advising legacy and social media outlets to suppress all information contained in the laptop computer abandoned by Hunter Biden that confirmed scandalous details about Biden's family business operations. That advice came at the time that the FBI knew the details about the laptop were accurate. Congress later determined members essentially were running an influential international influence peddling scheme that netted hundreds of millions of dollars. That's an example of what we're not hearing, what we're not knowing, but yet the question begs to be asked, if we know that, how should we live? How should we then live? What should be the modus operandi for our lives? What should be the stand that we would take? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned that in America today, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. What is absolute truth? Webster's Dictionary says this: it is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being in fact. 55% of the millennials say, ladies and gentlemen, that each person determines his or her own version of truth. That would make it impossible to ascertain factual matters, even in a court case. Ladies and gentlemen, I call our attention, go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that ought to be the operational standard for the child of God today, that we need to tell the truth, live it, love it, learn it, and be willing to stand and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power outlet dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the landscape and lawn care equipment for the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark to help you locate Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory 24/7. That's on the campus of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, find that flag and the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Bear with me for just a moment. Let me wrap up the loose ends on the monologue. Then we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, how should we then live? You, our listening audience, if you're a pastor, preacher, teacher, Sunday school teacher, deacon, how do you respond to the vast amount of news that we're receiving today? Some good, some bad. Some pastors refuse to say anything about an election. Most pastors refuse to say anything about a candidate. Most will not talk about the moral, ethical issues that we're faced with in America today. They say it's negative preaching. And therefore, God wants us to be a Joel Osteen, that we need to be positive with everything that's said. Don't talk about anybody going to hell. Don't talk about the sins of the world. Don't talk about the inequities and the sins of our politicians and what they're doing, leading America down the, as the old cliche used to call it, the primrose path to destruction as a nation, to the absolute obliteration of anything that is called constitutional republic that we have today. How should we respond? How should we then live? Should we just sit back without becoming involved in our nation's condition? It's my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that our current failures as Christians, as pastors, as churches to be salt and light has in part caused most of what we see in our nation today. You say, that's a pretty harsh statement. No, it's not. I believe it's very, very factually true. Judgment begins at the house of God, the household of faith. And I believe it's as a result of the silence in our pulpits for the past 60 to 70 years that's brought us to the position that we're in today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Yumba. I hate to say it like this, but America is going down the tubes unless we turn back to God. Because I'm looking at this young man in New York that's running for mayor. And, I mean, he just made a mockery of Hanukkah. He hates Jews. And we have, I think, like three or four Islamic people in the Senate and the House. And I'm like, and I don't see how these people vote for them. And our young students in college and universities, to my free Palestine, it's no evidence that Palestinians ever been in that country until Rome kicked the Jewish people out.
You see, Kenneth, you're exactly right. In fact, it would be a fascinating test. I'd like to have about 1,000 of these airheads, these millennials that's saying free Palestine from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. That is talking about total annihilation, evisceration of the Jewish people as a nation. I'd like to put a globe on the table, spin it, and say, now put your finger on where Palestine is located. Put your finger on that location. They would not be able to do it. 99.99% could not find it on a map if their lives depended on it. In fact, some articles that I was just researching yesterday, we're finding that there are major organizations with the designed purpose of causing enough chaos, confusion, calamity in America to implode America. In fact, one organization said that they had over $20 million offered to them to disperse at $200-$300 a day for the protesters to go out and protest. Most of these organizational structures are having, if it's a protest for this or that or the other, it's the same group of people. It's the same airheads. It's the same as the Islamics call them, useful idiots, that's being used today. And so we need to recognize that, and we need to keep praying, keep looking up, realizing that what we're witnessing are the last day signs in relationship to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God. But we ought not to sit down and do nothing because we see it coming. We need to warn as the watchman on the wall, to warn and to warn again of what is taking place. And by the way, it's not just that useful idiot that's running for mayor in New York that's a socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist, is the summary of who he is. But in Wisconsin, there's a young man, I believe in his early 20s, that's a Nigerian, and he says, elect me, and I'll bring the principles and the protocol of Nigeria to America so that we can make America the same as Nigeria. That young man ought not to have the privilege of running for office. I believe very frankly that we need to be very, very careful on some kind of protocol that would be used in the process to make sure that a person running for office are true Americans, love the Constitution, know the Constitution, willing to stand for the Constitution. Because when a person is sworn into office, whether it's local, state, or national, they swear to uphold the Constitution. And yet most of them will simply swear to uphold the Constitution, not even ever having read the Constitution, much less knowing what America stands for. So we need to continue to be, Kenneth, watchman on the wall, warning of danger ahead, and let the results then be left up to the individual. Yes, go ahead quickly.
Okay. All right. This stuff that's going on right now that the Democrats are throwing up about the sex scandals about, what's his name?
Epstein.
Right. So it took my tongue. They throw on everything they can to destroy this country. I believe that's what I believe.
Well, Kenneth, here's the bottom line. I'll say this and let you go. Here's the bottom line. The Democrats now are on board with trying to force any revelation or any release of any so-called Epstein files because somehow, some way, they believe with all there is within them that Donald Trump's name is in there, and therefore they want to find something as a, quote, snafu to try to undermine Trump's authority and his leadership as president. I'm told, and I'm made to believe, and we'll talk about it further in the broadcast, that there are hundreds and hundreds of names, and those names include those on an international level. And if they were to really all be released, it would cause so much chaos and confusion and so much enmity nation against nation, and the trade wars would really begin if this were to be totally released. I think there needs to be a release of names and or events and or places on a limited basis, but not on the basis that it can tear down and destroy our nation. I believe that we need to have, how would you say, transparency, so that we know something is there. I believe that Pam Bondi should go back and simply say, you know, we've got names, we're going to release this part of what we know, but the rest of it is so volatile and so desperately harmful to America and international relationships, we cannot let it happen. So that is my position. I'll talk about it further as to deeper beliefs on that later in the broadcast. But Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Dan is on the line. Dan, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. We always ask, what can we do? Where can we go to do it? And here I want to share with you yesterday and today. Yesterday, I called and got on the line to the Mike Gallagher program. I was going to talk about Epstein and what I knew, and I'm on hold, and they come back, they change the subject, and they hung up. I then called the Clay Traxton and Buck show, the one that Limbaugh had, and believe it or not, I got on the line. I wanted to talk about the Epstein information. I'm on hold. Now, this is a national program, both of them. Click, they hung up because they changed the subject. This morning, I tried once again, and I got on again to the Mike Gallagher program. And I wanted to share this. There was a picture when the Epstein scandal first broke. They were showing a picture, whether it was Hannity or Alex Jones or Beck or whomever. There was a picture traveling around that had three people. There stood Bill Clinton, butt deep in water. Across from him was Supreme Court Justice Roberts with a cocktail, butt deep in water. And between the two of them was Epstein holding a cocktail. They had a smile on their face, and one could wonder, were they talking about the party last night? Were they anticipating the party they were going to have? And the girls they were going to, molest or whatever that night, or maybe tomorrow, or maybe the new plane load of girls that just flew in? You don't know. What can we do when we don't have any place to take it? The truth is the truth. Well, Gallagher attacked me immediately when I said, Judge Roberts. He went on the attack. Others afterwards tried to say, yes, it's real. Now, we know this happened so long ago, and they had all the powers to take the truth and to twist it and make it look like it wasn't real. They have literally, through the media and through the power of their corrupted government, state, local, and federal, they have actually put America at the tipping point of destruction. Now, Donald Trump's got to understand his life was spared to expose that, what was going on. If he misses the mark and does not get out there and say, there are victims, the victims are going to be questioned, and the information they're going to give is going to be investigated, and we're going to prosecute because they are worldwide. They're the richest, most powerful people in the world that were partnered with Epstein in pure, raw evil. So what can we do?
Dan, here's
we
my
position. We can never give up.
Yes,
never give up.
Here's my position. The problem that we have today is when there's the sequestering of evidence and information, when so long we've been told there's the Epstein files, the Epstein names, et cetera, et cetera. Pam Bondi just recently had empty folders with the front of it saying Epstein files. She said they were on her desk. She was looking at them then. She was going to be releasing
yep.
them.
Yep.
As long as
Remember?
There's the illusion of facts and not given the facts, there'll always be the, how would you say, the thoughts and the feelings going around of different implications and who would be implicated in that. It's always the conspiracy theory that will just wander all over the globe. So therefore, I believe that the facts need to come out. I believe they need to be expressed. Even Alan Dershowitz, which is not a conservative, he's a moderate, to say the least. He's a Democrat at the very best, but he is a constitutionalist, and he was Epstein's attorney back in, I believe it was 2006, etc. And he says, I had access to the total files because he was implicated, and one person brought charges against him that he was part of the Epstein group. He had to defend himself, defend his reputation, so he had access to all of the files. He said, I know there names in there, I know who they are, and I can prove it with the files, but I have been by court order sequestered that I cannot say anything, cannot reveal anything about what's in the files. But he said, I can tell you the files exist. I can tell you that hundreds and hundreds of names on a global basis, and as I would put it, who's who around the globe has their names in that file. He said, that's what I can say. But by the way, Ghislaine Maxwell, the one that was sentenced to 20 years in Tallahassee State Prison at this moment, serving 20 years, she's just come out and she said, if I can talk, I'd like to be interviewed by the Congress so I can sit before a House or a Senate subcommittee and tell the facts. The facts have not been revealed. The list has not been given. I would like to have the privilege of expressing that. You see, she pled out. She had a plea deal. She wasn't tried. Yes, yes. It didn't go before the courts where all the books could be open, and I believe it was purposeful pleading out and giving her a sentence rather than being tried so that these names would not come out. So I have a mixed emotion. I have a mixed feeling. I'm fearful of what it can do on an international basis of causing major world turmoil and upset. Anything that Trump would want to do as far as any business deals with other nations as a result of implicating or showing forth those that were involved. And at the same time, I want the door to be open so the truth can be revealed and that it can be once and all settled who's who and who did what, when, and where. So yeah, that's my position on it. So Dan, I'm in agreement with what you're saying. Well, I believe the best. Go ahead.
Okay. Doesn't God say we are to fight evil wherever we find it?
That is our response. That's our responsibility as Christians.
Right. And as Christians, we must trust, first off, the Word of God. He spared Trump for a reason. Trump is supposed to bring this out and to take and prosecute the guilty, period, both politically and through the Epstein thing. Now, they took out tons of files and documents out of the Epstein island and out of his mansion. They've had the pictures. I would say that he has pictures of all kinds of powerful people and wealthy people around the world. Of
absolutely.
Course.
So
let's
Dan,
sort them out and get the ones we can get.
Absolutely. Dan, our time's about up for this portion of the broadcast, but I'm thankful for your call. Let me conclude your thoughts here with this. Benjamin Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. A nation becomes corrupt and vicious. They have more and more need of masters. So I believe that it's exactly right. A moral, ethical people are the only ones that's responsible for the going forward of a nation. Dan, thank you so much for your call. That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 904-831-0917. I believe James is on the line. James, if we can take a minute of talking, and then we'll put you on hold until after the news. Go ahead.
I would love it. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Great show as usual. What I would like to bring to the table is if we look back at what was great and what was so good about America at the founding, if you look at the Mayflower Compact, if you look at some of the founding documents, there was something that in 1856, the House of Representatives made a declaration. Can you imagine that if we did that now, talk about revival? And all it said was the great vital and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. James, hold that thought. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news. Right after the news break, we'll come back as we're talking about how should we then live based on all that we're seeing, based on all that we're hearing, based on all that's brought to the forefront in the news media. How should we as Christians respond? Should we be silent? Should we speak up, stand up, be salt and light? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine.